the first scripture we'll be going to is 1 John chapter 1. We'll be looking at God is light. And I had a very linear, kind of vague understanding of that. It might seem basic, but as we look at some of these, we heard in the songs and manifestations and in the prayers that light is used many different ways. But as we'll see in 1 John chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 4, I do believe.
Consult the sheet.
Yes. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. He says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." What we're going to read and some of the stuff we're not going to read was written that that their joy may be full. Verse 5. "This then is the message or the promise which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Okay, I'm going to stop right here. Is God stating that God is light, and then he opposes what he is light, to darkness. So keep that in mind as we continue to read. If we say, oh wait, there's God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is light, the words in the are not in any critical Greek text. God is not in the light. We just read God is the light, okay? So we are to, but if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true or genuine light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." So this teaching is going to encapsulate all that. Our fellowship with, you know, God is light, our fellowship with him, our fellowship with one another, you know, so, and that God calls light. Now, does it mean that when the lights are off, you know, there's darkness? Are we, you know, not to do that? I don't think so, but we'll read. We'll see. It's used in many different ways. Also, light in and of itself was used different ways, like to make light of something, you know, not to give it the importance that it has. As it was used, like in 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, "But our light affliction is but for a moment." It's what we're going to be looking at is pretty much, you know, the 1 John scriptures we read. Okay, so Revelation chapter 21. Pretty interesting. We're going to read all of John's books, which is kind of interesting. I found out, you know, it just occurred to me a little later. Revelation chapter 21. And this is what Wesley spoke to. We're going to read this. Verses 1 and 2 kind of gives the context here. And it says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former," not the first ones, "but the former heaven and the former earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city of New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Okay, let's go to verse 22 of the same chapter. And it says, "And I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. Which means nations are referred to a lot of times about the people that are in the nation. So all kinds of people that are at that time are going to bring their glory. It means they're going to be yielding to that power. They're all bringing it to him, bringing it. Chapter 22, verse 5. And it says, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And in verse 16, this is, remember John's, he's saying what Jesus said, and this is verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto thee, unto these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And that morning star, in the, there is a constellation called the morning star, which is, I think, Venus that rises in the east, rises before the sun. So it was a reference to that. They would have known what that meant. It means that, that bright morning star. Couple interesting things to note. In Isaiah 14, the before fallen Lucifer was referred to the son of the morning, but not anymore. Jesus Christ, we read, is now the morning star. In Luke, it's called the day spring or the sun rising in a prophecy being repeated. And in Matthew as well, it says that people that sat in darkness and in the region of death or something, that light is sprung up. So just some interesting things to note. Let's go to the end, the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Kind of following the somewhat outline. There's a lot more stuff in here that I'm not going to read, which you're all probably thankful for, but if you're interested, do it at your leisure. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Did God create it without form and void? No. Okay, we know that there was a battle in heaven. Lucifer, who was the morning star, no longer that, tried to usurp God's authority, and he lost. But in the consequences, the unintended, or maybe the intended consequences, the earth became without form and void. And what was upon the face of the deep? Darkness. Okay. Now, you read in 1 John that that God is light, and there is no darkness in him. So in verse 3, God says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Did that mean God wasn't in the whole entire universe? Or maybe God's intentions, God's solutions, God's design and things he wanted was not on the face of the deep, because it was dark. And now God says in verse 3, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided, he made division between the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. We're not going to read it, but then if you get down to verses 14 through 19, God makes the sun, you know, the moon, the greater light, the lesser light, the stars, and the things to govern, you know, the earth. And that's day 4. So obviously what happened in day 1 with that light and day 4 is they're not the same thing. Just as God, Jesus Christ said, you know, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. You know, there was life going on, so he came to do something a little different that wasn't available at that time. And maybe this light was also that same way, a little different, meaning God's solution. So we see he starts putting things back in a workable, sustainable order. So maybe it's God's having to come from God, his working, his solutions, his plans, his purposes are now starting to come in. So that might be the introduction of light now into that. Let's go to, if you would, Psalm 119. verse 105. I'm sure very familiar verse for y'all. Okay, Psalm 119, 105, verse 105. It says, "The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, last time the lights went out, you know, I didn't yell for, "Honey, get me the Bible." You know, the lights have gone out. Is it literally? Is there like, we strap these to the front of our cars, you know, at night? You know, does it give light? Probably a figure of speech, probably. So it gives light. And let's go to verse 130 of the same chapter. And this is verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And maybe that's the way God means it, you know, and sometimes that, because God is light, he gives his information, his plans, his purposes, and he gives the understanding. And we kind of have those same things, you know, when we talk about something, like, I'm in the dark about this thing. I don't know, you know, what's going on, or I don't know what to do. And then, can you come and shed light on this for me, or help, you know, so, and then we go, oh, I'm enlightened. So we kind of use the same kind of stuff. So this is, maybe this is the way God uses it at times as well. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 50. And in verse 10, Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, it says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the spark, and then walk in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow." So what's he talking about? Is he actually, there was a cultural thing they did. You know, they had the, as you probably all well know, you know, they'd make a fire and they'd put sticks in it to get the sticks real hot and embery. And then they would like bang them to give light where they go. Now God's saying, if for those that make their own fire and walk with their own sparks, they're either rejecting or not considering or don't want, even want to know what God has to say, as we saw in, you know, in Psalms there, that they're doing it on their own. So God says, you know, this is what you're going to lay down in sorrows and in pains. He said, you know, like, why? And that's kind of like what happened in Jeremiah when they rejected God, you know, the fountain of living water. And what did they do? They hewed themselves out their own cisterns, which can hold no water. So it's very along the same lines of that. Let's go to the Gospel of John. Chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things that were made by him, and without him was not anything to be made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That's kind of an archaic way of saying the comprehended part is overcame. You can translate that, that darkness overcame it not. So this is God's word or God's thoughts, you know, his plans, his purposes. Because it's not only, I don't know, for me it was a tricky thing when you heard word, you think, oh, the Bible was back there, you know, God's word. But no, because Moses didn't write that until then, being in the desert, you know, for 40 years. He had a couple, had some time to do that. But when God spoke his word, "Let there be light," did he have plans? Did he have purposes with that? Did he have intentions? Yes, and that was light, okay? And we saw that it didn't overcome, the darkness did not overcome the light. Okay? And then it now kind of changes a little bit of subject here in verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true or genuine light, like it was in 1 John. It's the true and genuine light, which lighteth every man that cometh unto the world. Okay, so we know that John the Baptist came and several things, but he was come to make Jesus known, you know, clear the path, you know, make your path straight. You know, for the ones whose shoes laces, I'm not able, you know, not worthy enough to latch. He's coming, and he's going to bring, you know, the true light. He's coming with it. He's going to draw those that believe. And then let's go back to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to pick up this record. We're going to read a few verses. This is John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, who was didn't believe about his wife or Jesus Christ, and God said, you know, zip it for a while. You can't speak. So he comes out and he asks for a tablet to write the name of his son, you know, what is going to be his son's name. And then we're going to pick it up way in verse 76 of Luke chapter 1. And it says, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. This is after, then when he did that, God, he opened his mouth, God allowed him to open his mouth, and now he's prophesying. This is actually a prophecy which was spoken of in Isaiah. So this is the first words out of his mouth after he was able to speak after the birth of his child. And it says, verse 76, and thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring, or the sun rising, from on high hath visited us, to give to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet unto the way of peace. So did Jesus Christ come to, like, turn on the lights for people and, you know, give them a flashlight or something? No, he came to maybe open their understanding or make the way, you know, he came to accomplish things that people can get to God's, you know, God's plans, God's purposes. He was bringing the light, and he was bringing that light to those that sat in darkness. Thank God for that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Am I doing right? Okay. Am I doing okay?
Yeah, you're okay. Wonderful.
Good.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, thank you very much. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 3, says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the God of this world has blinded their eyes, and usually people that are blind are usually in darkness. I can't say 100% that that's the case, but that's what I come to know. Oh, keep your finger here, because we're going to come right back. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, and it says, for such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And here Paul's talking about some of these people walk around saying that Paul was like, he had a very puny appearance and his speech was contemptible and, you know, he can't be working for the true God. But we know that Corinthians is mostly a reproof epistle, and at the onset of 1 Corinthians, you know, they believed, you know, it was, you know, my apostle, you know, Christ or of Silas or Paul, you know. So they're always like running around believing other things and other people. That was verse 13, right?
Yep.
Okay, verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Wow. There is therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, who then shall be according to their works. Okay, so how do we know if their apostles, you know, transform into righteousness and Satan's into an angel of light? How do we know that?
Prophet.
Excuse me?
There has to be prophet.
Well, yeah, partly right. We know because we know the genuine. And when you get to know the genuine, the counterfeit will be plain. And then we also have Holy Spirit. And God, he says, is going to guide our path. And if we, you know, go to him and he tells us, you know, he said, you know, it may have the appearance of something good, but, you know, it's, you know, blah, it's no good. So we are not left, you know, to guess what is good and what is darkness, what is light, because we know the genuine, we have the genuine within us. And so we don't have to guess or wonder. And so we just keep attentive to God, and the things of God and his word will give the light, the true light, the true and genuine light will be known. Let's go back to chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. We're going to read 5 and 6. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, as Anthony was saying, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So if you could tell me how God made light back then when there's darkness, and then when someone asks you, well, how do I get born again? Why don't I get, you know, an evil spirit or something bad? He says, I don't know how he did it back then. If, you know, because we all, you know, we're dead in trespass sin. He's going to shine that light in us. I don't know. Maybe we can ask him when we get there. But we don't know, but we know God. And he's faithful, and he does not a man that he should lie. So he's going to, you know, where there is at one time darkness, boom, there's the light of God in there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8 says, "For we at some times, or at one time, for we were at one time darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit," and that word should be light, because it was translated light almost everywhere else. It's the word photon, which means light. So it's there is a fruit of light. And sometimes when different words are used concerning the same thing, like, you know, Satan, devil, the adversary, it's just kind of highlighting, you know, particular characteristics of that phrase or word. And here, too, it's just, we know we have a fruit of the Spirit, but here it's calling it light. We have fruit of the light. Fruit of the light, all good, in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay, we don't hang out or fellowship with what? Does it say the people that are up doing the darkness, or the unfruitful works of darkness? We reprove that. People need light. You know, if we exclude ourselves and, you know, run into our little bubbles, you know, how are they going to get light, right? We speak, it's in us, you know, they'll see, as we'll see in a little bit. It's, you know, they'll see the works of God, but we got to speak it, we got to walk it, you know. And so, and we don't fellowship with that other stuff, you know. It's just, it's not good, and it's not who we are. So, and that word rather, you know, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove it. And that's that melande, for a greater greater purpose, or more important, reprove it. Okay? God didn't let the darkness hang out in Genesis 1. He's like, God gave light, and God is light. Verse 12. We're going to go to 14. "For it is shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Okay, I know, speaking for myself, when I got born again, and even to this day, You know, I'm not 100% squeaky clean in all areas of my life. There is a little darkness there. But as we put on the Word, when the Word shines that light, you know, in there, it's like, oh, that's not best, you know, and maybe I need to, you know, work on that and change that. You know, we don't bring our all cleaned up 100% squeaky clean selves to Christ to get born again. No, we were dead and we were darkness, we were dead in trespass and sin. And then, you know, God gets to work and He works with us where we're at. Right? When that one malefactor that didn't revile Jesus on the cross with the other three, you know, Jesus didn't say, oh, get your act cleaned up and then come to me. You know? He's like, oh, you know, you will be with me in heaven, you know. So, and that's why, you know, we're the light of the world. That's why we can't, again, isolate ourselves. We need to go there. And as the light makes manifest, as we continue to put on the genuine, the true light, those areas, if we have any, you know, get cleaned up, shine the, you know, shine that light in those dark places. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. I'm sure another familiar area, but speaking of God as light, here it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse age. What that word should be. Among whom, what do?
Shine.
We shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. But that word holding, the word forth, holding forth, is should be holding on to. Yes, we definitely do holding it. We definitely do hold it forth. But if we hold on to it ourselves, if it's in us, then we're going to be doing that and much more. Okay? And we don't murmur and dispute with God or the things of God. Reminds me of children of Israel in, you know, in the desert. You know, they get up to the Red Sea, and now the Egyptians are coming, and oh my gosh, you know, that's the murmurings. Oh, we're going to die here. There wasn't enough graves back in Egypt. We're going to die here. You know, that murmurings is like doubting. And then when you come right out and dispute with God, if you're getting information here or, you know, revelation, that's unbelief. If we're arguing with God, we're not believing, you know, we don't. So, again, things we develop. We don't murmur things with God as He's working to will and to do of His good pleasure in us. And then as we continue to do that, we'll shine that light. We'll, you know, hold it forth, hold on to it. You just, because it's, you know, we know we're being bombarded constantly with the junk of this world, and it's always bucking up against, you know, the things of God, you know. And some, you know, are we going to cave? Are we going to stand? You know. And we've been given, as someone prayed this morning, I think it was Antoinette or somebody, we have the enablements. God enabled us, and we're going to see a little bit of that. Colossians. Oh, wait a minute. I'm wrong. Six. I mean, I'm sorry. Let's go back to Ephesians 6. Verse 10. I want you guys to get your money's worth, because I know you paid lots of money to get for these seats here. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness on high. That's right. If we try to battle that in our own strength and not in the strength of the Lord, the outcome will not be the same. We will not do well at all. And we know it talks about the armor of God. Right? Verse 13, verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, calls it, mentioned the armor of righteousness. And in Romans 13, 12, it's called the armor of light. So we have been, again, highlighting maybe different characteristics or aspects, but we have that armor, you know, and it's light. And believe me, it divides the darkness, as it says. It cuts through that. And it's power, and it's God working within us. So we go in that power. We go in that strength and in that might. Okay, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And liken that unto, you know, we don't hate our brothers. It says we're not walking in light. We have, you know, we're all saints of light. And why would I want to hate someone? You know, they may not be doing practical things or things that are not characteristics of saints of light or people, you know, citizens of heaven. Okay, so we help them. We saw Ephesians. If there's something, you know, reprove, give them light. Give them the word. You know, give them an opportunity. And if they don't, what's going to happen? They're going to go. They're going to change, or they're not. You know, we are the light. We, you know, bring it to those. And we don't hate our brother. I don't know. You may not like. I don't know. But that's, again, that's in the flesh, you know, area, secular area. We just saints of light, and we are saints of light, and they are, and we have that inheritance together. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been delivered from the exercised authority of the darkness. And we saw in Ephesians, you know, there are powers, there are principalities of that. But we, oh, greater in us is, you know, greater that is in us than is he, that is in him. You know, the light conquers the darkness. And if we listen and don't murmur and dispute and go with that and hold on to that light, you know, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. And, you know, when that time comes, you know, when Jesus Christ comes back to gather us, we're out of here. We're in a very well-lit place. There will be no darkness after that. And in conclusion, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. This is part of that Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking to his disciples and stuff, but would also be very true for us, because Jesus Christ hadn't accomplished it yet, right? Because, you know, having accomplished all of what was needed for man's redemption, and then, you know, die, and then Jesus Christ, God raised him up, and now it's, you know, so at this point, he's telling them that they were, and we are even that and more so today, because we have all the rights, privileges, and abilities. We have the armor of light. We have Holy Spirit within. They didn't hear, but let's just read it. Verse 14, it says, you are light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's what that's for. And what a wonderful privilege to be a part of that, you know, to bring light, you know. We do that whenever we're in a situation, you know, what do we bring into that situation? Something to consider, you know. We have our daily activities, and, you know, hopefully, I know I think of that a lot more lately. You know, there's enough darkness out there. You know, I do not want to add to that. So, do that. God is light. Oh, let's just read that verse up there. Top of the page there, James 1:17. On the top of the page it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen.